Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Top Gun, Unleashed, by Michael Anderley. Narrated by Eva Wilhelm. Chapter 1. Humanity had invented FTL technology that allowed them to travel to the stars. Advanced computing had birthed marvels like Debbie 2, artificial beings who could think like humans. Mia, her father, and everyone involved with Cadmus offered more stunning proof of the ingenuity of the species and its ability to shape the smallest building blocks of life and existence. Those technological marvels joined millennia of cultural achievements and glory. Even now, Mia sat on the bridge of an FTL-capable ship docked with a station floating securely in the high atmosphere of a purple-blue gas giant. Ancient humans would have looked at her like a goddess in a station that stood in the so-called fringe of a vast, star-faring human civilization. They would have been boggled at the sheer scope of the number and types of people she had dealt with. Humans had conquered their planet and now were on the way to spreading through all of existence. They had a good claim on the entire galaxy, despite the resistance of other intelligent species. None of that mattered to Mia in that moment. That vast history and impressive achievements were useless for her current problem. She needed a different invention, one that would allow her to reach through a vidcom screen on the bridge of her ship and strangle someone. Or at least a clever retort that could crush a man's will with a handful of syllables. Mia glared at the bored-looking man on the other side of her conversation, the fuel station manager, Corden. Comm's bandwidth and latency requirements made her use of vidcoms in her ship rare. That was a good thing. Her growing irritation with men like Corden would ensure she made it rarer. She didn't want to murder people as much when she couldn't see their smug smiles. A crackling voice over long-range comms was far less rage-inducing. Her gaze darted to the side, where Karen was waving her hands. Mia understood the signal, but calming down wouldn't help. Paul nodded at her with approval in his eyes. Ryoko was poring over technical readouts, too worried about pushing Mia in her current state. Perhaps one of them could do a better job at dealing with Corden. Mia doubted it, and keeping them with her for her mission meant leading them. She couldn't shirk her duties out of annoyance, no matter how smug a man's smile was. While it hadn't been that many months since they'd all deserted the KCAP Navy together, sometimes Mia still couldn't believe they'd come with her. They hadn't even known the full truth about her when they did, and they hadn't seemed all that surprised when she admitted it to them. They'd always suspected she was special. Her constant displays of skill and ability offered evidence of her true nature, even when she was trying to hide it. For the moment, she was grateful to have a crew and flightmates she could call friends. That didn't make her any less angry with Corden and what he'd just told her. "There must be a mistake," Mia commented. "That's not the price you quoted before we docked, and that's after I agreed to your ridiculous docking fee. There's haggling, and there's misrepresentation." Corden frowned. "Do you know how much money it takes to maintain a fuel depot like this in the middle of nowhere? Rookie idiots mess around here in the fringe thinking they know what's up, and I make sure they don't end up drifting through space, wishing they were dead before their life support runs out. My fees are the only reason I don't end up broke. It's not like I'm getting rich here." He jabbed his finger forward. "And you're the one who misrepresented herself. I would have never quoted those prices if you hadn't pretended to be someone you aren't." "How did I misrepresent myself?" Mia demanded. "I didn't pretend to be anyone." Corden motioned to something right off screen. "The Irinaes. What was I supposed to think? You chose that name for a reason."
"Everyone chooses their ship name for a reason. What's the name of my ship have to do with anything?"
"When I asked you what it meant, you gave me that big speech about it being named after Greek furies who tormented traitors."
His tone suggested that was all the explanation needed. There was an irony to the name. The KCAP Navy considered Mia and her friends traitors. She considered everyone in the KCAP government and military enablers of traitors and was prepared to put her life on the line to prove it. "That's the truth," Mia insisted.
I'm not following your issue.
Don't you get it? Corden scoffed. Of course I believed you'd be with the Stellar Phalanx after a story like that. I assumed you were with them. How many other private companies are out there in this part of space with ancient Greek names?
I don't know. I doubt it's that uncommon. Ancient Earth mythology is a common source of inspiration.
She didn't understand why he was saying what he was saying. By his own admission, an entire company was using the same mythology source. That should have proven how common it was, not the opposite.
Mia glared at the man and fought down the desire to scream about his ignorance. Everything about him, from his smug look when he'd first contacted her to his pulled-out-of-his-ass excuse, reeked of manipulation. In the months since buying and repairing her ship, Mia had run into this type of trouble more than once. Her crew was all young, including her. Everyone expected a grizzled man with a beard, not a young woman. Once people saw her, they thought they could take advantage of her. They all assumed she was a stupid little rich girl playing at annoying a wealthy father. They didn't understand who she was and what she represented. Worst of all, he didn't realize that she and her crew were the Furies now, and they would tear apart the corruption of the K-Cap. That is, assuming she could refuel the ship first when the man was doing everything but sticking a gun to her head to rob her. Corden was right, the bastard. He was the only fuel station for a huge swath of territory. Hiding in this part of the fringe had strained the ship's fuel more than once. Mia's mission needed more than willpower to succeed, and she needed full supplies for the next stage of her plan. "This is robbery," she complained. "We'll just leave. I'm not going to let you cheat me." Corden laughed.
"And where do you plan to go, little girl?"
"Back the way we came," Mia scoffed. He didn't have the power here.
"You wouldn't have come here if you didn't need fuel."
Corden glanced down. His smile faded.
Okay, one second. I don't like the idea of sending a rich little princess to die because she was too stubborn to understand how the real world worked.
I'm not a child, Mia replied, and I'm not a rich princess. I'm about as far from that as you can be. That wasn't, strictly speaking, true. The money she'd received from her father's policy had pushed her into wealth. Even after all the money she'd spent on her investigations and buying the ship, that remained true. And if a princess was defined by a special background and lineage, few women had a more special background and lineage than her.
Sure, Corden chuckled. I'll admit I can't get a read on you. There's something about you that has a hard edge, but I can smell the inexperience on you all the way from over here. The Fringe is a dangerous place, girl. It's not somewhere you should be playing at proving yourself. We have too many factions out here, human and not, messing around.
I'm sure I've killed more people than you, Mia informed him. Don't underestimate me. The sniveling and arrogant manner of the man convinced her he lacked personal bravery. Killing people, even in self-defense, took a certain level of bravery.
Yeah, whatever. Corden waved a hand. You're the greatest killer in all of history, and I should tremble before you. If you were here, you'd be choking me out with my own thumb.
He laughed.
Except you need my fuel before you can go and kill anybody else there, lethal princess.
I won't pay the quoted price, Mia insisted. If it's not robbery, it's gouging. I don't care how new you think I am to the Fringe. I'm not rolling over for you just because you think you can get away with it.
It's business. You should run back home if you don't like business. Nothing personal. You'll have to deal with much worse than high fuel prices out in the Fringe.
Corden glanced off to the side and frowned.
Stay there. I've got something to check on.
He sighed.
It annoys me because I think you need to learn your lesson, but we might be able to work a deal out.
The holo display for the VidCom disappeared, replaced by a system message. Feed halted. Connection secure. We need this fuel, Mia, Karen pointed out. Sure, the guy's being an asshole, but we won't make it without it. We don't have enough to get back where we came from or to the next closest known fuel station. It's why he's here. I'm sure he set this place with all that in mind. I could board the station, march to his command center, and beat him within an inch of life. suggested Mia. Then we could discuss fuel prices after I've finished the beating. I bet he'd be more reasonable then. We'd get a discount for sure.
Karen grimaced. We don't need more enemies, especially out here when we're low on fuel.
It's not crazy, Paul put in.
When Karen shot him a look, he continued,
I'm just saying, we could threaten him. Maybe we make it sound like we'll damage the station if he doesn't play along.
Ryoko grimaced. You want to attack a fuel station? There are 5 different reasons I can think of why that's a terrible idea.
We're sitting here with the secondary couplings in a closed docking bay, Karen reminded them. That's reason number 1. We're not in a good position to dodge much of anything.
Paul shook his head.
I'm not talking about doing anything like that. I'm saying if he thinks Mia's just an idiot rich girl playing in the fringe who will throw a tantrum if she doesn't get her own way, we can use that to our advantage.
He motioned to the camera feeds, showing the tight docking bay surrounding the ship and the secondary couplers keeping her from drifting too far to any one side.
We're not fully clamped in yet. Accidents happen. See? No turrets or missiles or anything over the top.
Corden reappeared on the feed before Mia could respond to Paul's suggestion. All the smugness the manager had displayed before had vanished. His lip trembled before he took a deep breath.
We can work something out, he offered in a solemn voice. I can give you a discount. I'm sorry for what I said before. It was rude.
Why the change of heart? Mia was too suspicious not to ask. Nobody changed so quickly without a reason.
There's no change of heart. I just got some bad news.
Corden shrugged.
The thing is, I wasn't lying earlier. It's expensive to run this place. I give special deals to privateers like the Phalanx and Mercs because they cut me deals sometimes and help me out with problems that can affect my profits.
We could help with your problems. We're looking for work. Corden shook his head.
Come back when you have an actual rep I should care about. Right now, you're the girl who needs a fuel discount.
He scratched his eyelid.
I overreacted when I realized you weren't with the Phalanx, but we could do something else.
His eyes darted back and forth as he read a side display.
I could give the fuel for your ship with a small discount, as long as you do something for me. Not a job. Caritashes have always been nice, reliable ships. Maybe we could do each other a favor. There's a part I need. It's not a critical thing, but I might be able to find one on your Caritash, a part of the power transfer system.
Why would I give you something we need to fly? Mia asked.
My people can show you how to set up a temporary bypass. I've got some of the best engineers in the sector.
Okay. He took a deep breath.
Here's what I'll do. I'll give a big discount on the fuel if you have the part. It'll help me out because I can fix a problem that just popped up right away and not have to wait for a parts delivery.
He chuckled.
Damn, it must look stupid to you that I'm begging for your help now.
Mia frowned. It's not your finest hour.
That's what I was trying to get you to understand before. The fringe doesn't forgive.
I have the same problem. Corden let out another nervous laugh.
Okay, let my people on board to inspect and see if you have what we need. If you don't have the part, there's no point in messing around with this at all, and then we go back to discussing my original price.
What's the part? Mia asked. I don't want your people on my ship. We'll check ourselves.
The thing is, I need my people to look at it themselves, Corden insisted, to make sure it's the right one. Otherwise, we're just wasting each other's time. How about this? I'll give you a little fuel for your time as a sign of good faith. If you have the part and you agree to swap, I'll give you everything you're asking for at half the quoted price. Even the Phalanx doesn't get that sweet a deal.
Mia nodded. Her enhanced senses couldn't help her over comms, but her hard-earned experience since leaving home would. Something was wrong. She just needed to figure out what.
Give me a few minutes to discuss this with my crew, Mia replied.
Sure, sure. Take your time. It's not like the station's going to blow up if I don't get the part right away. I'm just trying to save myself from a shipping headache.
Mia reached over to the control panel to stop the VidCom feed.
I still think I should strangle him. He gave me all that attitude and now he's begging for help. And he's still holding something back.
That works to our advantage, Karen replied. Desperate people are willing to do desperate things, like offer deeper discounts. He might need that part more than he's letting on, like a reactor will fail in a day if he doesn't get it.
Exactly.
Paul rubbed his hands together. You need to squeeze him harder. I bet you can get him down to a third of the quoted price.
Ryoko shook her head. We should take the deal without leaving too bad an impression. We might have to come back here in the future. We don't want him charging us more out of revenge in the future when we don't have something he needs.
I don't like the idea of giving him parts from this ship, Mia admitted. We don't even know what they need yet. It might be as big a deal for us as it is for them.
It's doubtful, love, came Debbie Two's voice from the main control panel. I believe this is an attempt by that gentleman to slow walk or stall this conversation. You need to leave as soon as possible. I've picked out a coded signal being sent via tight beam from the station.
Mia frowned. She had not been suspicious enough. Who's receiving it?
I can't tell from here, Debbie Two replied, but it's being transmitted in the direction of the K-Cap Navy patrol you were interested in avoiding prior to your arrival.
Mia growled.
That son of a bitch! He's trying to sell us out!
If the info we received was right, they're not that far away, Karen added. They'll be here damned quickly.
Paul punched his armrest. That bastard Corden must think there's a bounty to collect.
It's not a crazy thought, Ryoko mused. She glanced over at Mia. Mia's statements might have convinced him she's more dangerous than she appears.
Mia shrugged. I am. You're saying I shouldn't have said the part about having killed more people than him?
I don't think it was that helpful, no.
Dealing with a patrol isn't a headache we need right now, Mia agreed. We'll find another place to get fuel.
What other place? Asked Karen.
Corden's right. We don't have enough fuel to make it anywhere, and I don't want to chance hoping someone comes across us in space and is willing to donate to us.
We'll run at reduced power consumption, kill the life support in non-essential parts of the ship, tweaks here and there. We could transfer the fuel from the fighters into the ship. If we do all that, it might be enough to make it to another depot or planet.
It might be enough?
Paul's eyes widened.
This sounds like the beginning of a historian's report about finding a mysterious ship that drifted through space for decades after the crew died. Are you going to write a series of increasingly unhinged captain's logs as we starve to death? We might as well make it dramatic for the people who find our corpses.
He shook a finger.
If you're going to start eating people, go ahead and shoot me and eat me first.
Karen rolled her eyes. How magnanimous of you.
We can get to the next fuel depot with low power running, Mia insisted, though she wasn't sure if she believed that.
The station is hailing you, Mia, Debbie Two announced.
Mia reached for the controls. Go ahead and put them through.
Corden reappeared, all smiles, though sweat was beading down the side of his face.
Have you had time to think about my offer? I think we could help each other out here. Part of being out here on the fringe is helping people.
Really? Earlier it sounded like you were saying people on the fringe like to take advantage of others.
You misunderstood me. I was trying to just get you in the right mindset.
Mia's fingers flew over her controls. Beeps sounded along with the hums and rumbles that she'd learned to tune out over her time on the ship. Acclimating to different environments had proven a challenging part of living with her enhanced senses. Corden's gaze dropped. He frowned.
What are you doing? This can't be right.
I'm getting ready to leave, Mia explained. You're going to release the couplings, or we'll just pull out of here the hard way. It'll hurt you a lot more than it'll hurt us, and it'll be expensive to repair.
Whoa! Corden shook his head. Calm down there. I'm sorry you're mad about the first quoted price, but we can make this a win-win with my new offer. Don't be stupid, girl. Being petty won't help you get far.
Loud proximity alarms blared. The ship shook. Grinding, thudding noises accompanied the shaking. The cacophony faded into quiet, and the alarms stopped. Mia narrowed her eyes on a camera feed, and the massive docking clamps now latched to her ship.
What the hell are you doing? Release your clamps!
Whew, that was close.
Corden's discomfort melted away, replaced by a sickening grin.
I wasn't sure before, but now I am. I'm lucky. It's hard to get good bounties out here that the mercs or privateers haven't grabbed. And you delivered yourself right to me.
You're going to release my ship, Mia growled, or you'll deeply regret it in the short rest of your life.
No, I don't think so.
Corden shook his head.
You're all bluster. You're not going anywhere now.
You think I have a bounty, but you're not afraid? Mia scoffed. That's idiotic.
Corden shrugged. I think you got lucky raiding a transport or something like that. It doesn't matter. The Navy will be here soon. If you want to make it through this alive, I'd power down your ship and go to a cargo bay. Kneel and put your hands on your head and wait for the Navy to board you. No matter what you do, you're not getting out of here. Even if you could get out of the clamps, what are you going to do? The minute you look like you might escape, I'll send security down there to blow holes in the side of your ship. Now, be a good girl and don't cause any more trouble than you already have.
The feed died. Mia brought back her fist to smash into the control panel, but stopped herself. There was no reason to damage her equipment because of Corden's idiocy. She'd damage his. She undid her seat harness and stood. Strangling it is. Always go with your gut. Ryoko motioned to the control panel.
Maybe Debbie, too, could hack the systems and get us loose? Just enough to pull free.
Mia shook her head. Even if she could, it'd take too long, and there's too great a risk of damage to the ship even without security. I'm not ripping the Irinies apart after all that effort we put into getting her spaceworthy. She cracked her knuckles. Debbie, too, get me a layout for this station design. I'm going to board with a rifle and a sidearm for backup. She nodded to her friends. The rest of you are going to prep your fighters in case the patrol shows up before we're out of here. Whatever local patrol they have out here won't be at our level.
You sure? Paul asked.
Mia headed toward the back of the bridge. I'm not great at negotiation, but I'm the queen of intimidation.
And if that doesn't work?
Then I strangle him and shoot him through the head.
Paul laughed. As long as you have a plan.
When Mia exited the ship in a full vac suit, she'd worried there'd be security there to stop her, but the docking bay was empty, making it an easy run from the bay into a hallway. She pulled her rifle off her shoulder and jogged down a side hallway on Debbie 2's suggested path to the main control center. The lack of immediate security made her think Corden's bravery was overplayed. It made no sense to fail to station guards there unless he had so few workers that he needed to save them for key locations. Her confidence grew. She might get in her strangling. She slowed when stray footsteps caught her ear. The vac suit was necessary protection against Corden depressurizing the docking bay, but the helmet and suit limited her ability to take advantage of her enhanced senses. Mia spun around the corner with her rifle. A dock worker in coveralls yelped and threw his hands in the air. "Please don't kill me. I hate my job as is." "Where's Corden?" Mia demanded. "In the control center?" The man shook his head. "He's got an office. He even calls it the overseer's office. It's on the same level as the control center, but he's never in there, because that way—" "The point is, he's in his office." He rattled off detailed directions. "Can I go now? I have something I have to fix before I clock out." Mia motioned with her rifle for him to go.
"Do me a favor."
What? "Tell security I'm on my way to the control center and heavily armed." The worker blinked. "But I told you, he's in his office."
"Yes, I know.
Tell security I'm on my way to the control center. And you better hurry up if you want to do that and get your work done before you clock out. Things are going to get hectic soon." The worker nodded and sprinted away. "Debbie 2, assuming this place is a standard design, there's one more thing I need you to find for me." Mia had little chance of making it to Corden's office undetected. With that in mind, she preferred to take advantage of the self-described overseer's arrogance and use it against him. A man who used titles like that was a man who let his ego make too many decisions. She'd made her way through and up twisted passages and emergency ladders to move closer to her target. Taking an elevator that could be locked down remotely would have made it too easy for Corden to capture her. Once she made it to the target level, Mia remembered Debbie Two's map and avoided taking a direct path to her immediate destination, an intersection right outside the primary control center. The lack of alarms or security warnings convinced her Corden wasn't taking her seriously enough. Going after the control center would appear more logical to anyone trying to anticipate her actions, which meant they'd play into her strategy easier. Mia was close to the intersection. She could make out the light murmurs of overlapping voices as she backed away toward a drone maintenance vent. After slinging her rifle over her shoulder, she pulled open the vent cover and crawled inside. The plan was risky. She wouldn't be able to make it to her destination if there was a drone in that part of the vents. Now committed, Mia crawled and slid through the tunnel until she came out right near the control center. She held her breath and tugged the cover open, hoping it wouldn't make too much noise. A small security squad stood below, right by the intersection. They all held rifles, though none of them looked that worried.
"I lost so much money on that match," a guard was complaining. "I swear the odds they put out are made up. It's a conspiracy." "You shouldn't gamble," another guard replied. "That's the real prop."
Mia leapt from the vent without a word. None of the guards reacted until she hit the ground with a light thud. They turned then, but it was too late. She surged forward to smash a man's face with a palm strike before shoving him into another guard. She flowed from that initial attack into a kick that sent her victim spinning into the wall. Her fist sank into the stomach of the last unencumbered guard before he could let out a shout. The guard, tangled up with her first victim, managed to shove his friend away. Mia yanked a rifle out of the hands of the now doubled-over guard she'd punched. She pivoted and smashed it against the head of the last resisting guard, and his eyes rolled up in the back of his head as he fell backward. Mia crouched and inspected the groaning and half-conscious guards. She ejected their magazines from their rifles and tossed them into the maintenance vent. She jogged away, not concerned if they were found. All she cared about was making sure she wasn't ambushed from behind as she dealt with Corden. Even lackluster security could get lucky with enough shots. Mia slowed as she approached the last turn toward Corden's office. An unsettling mechanical hum filled the air. She lowered her rifle and spun around the corner. Two military-grade combat drones hovered in front of Corden's office, bulbous, elongated chunks of metal with autocannons underneath. They looked like giant mechanical hornets.
"Attention, unidentified person," warned a hollow-sounding voice from a drone. "You are to immediately display your ID badge, or you will be considered a valid target. Lethal force will be employed in 30 seconds.
Mia flipped her rifle to burst fire and shot the drone. Her rounds sparked off the armored shell, leaving unsatisfying scratches and dents, and the drones replied with their roaring cannons, missing Mia as she ducked back behind the corner. So much for her 30 seconds. With a whir, the drones zoomed away from the office. Mia sprinted down the hallway, spraying fire as the drones turned a corner. Her shots scratched the drone's armor but didn't accomplish much else. They returned fire again, this time blowing a chunk off the wall. Using that level of weaponry in a pressurized station was a bad idea, and it didn't speak well of Corden's intelligence. This was more sign of an oversized ego. Mia kept running, trying to follow a curving path back toward the office the long way. She wasn't going to win a battle of attrition against the drones. After another exchange and retreat, she spotted and ran for an open storage room. Stacks of crates and piles of machinery pieces offered better cover than the narrow, open hallways outside. She hurried inside and slid behind two massive crates right as she noticed three workers inspecting an inactive maintenance drone. "Get out of here," Mia ordered without fanfare. "You don't want to be around me. Security drones are after me." The workers exchanged looks and two ran for the door. A withering curtain of autocannon cut through them, splattering the front of the room with a fine red coat of blood. The third worker, a young woman, froze near the drone, staring at the shredded remains of her colleagues with wide-eyed horror. She'd survived only because she hadn't immediately moved, and the drones didn't have an attack angle on her.
What the hell? Mia shouted. Those were your own people! The whirring and humming grew louder with the approach of the drones.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?